Anyway, praise God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We cannot separate from our origins. We cannot separate from our authority. This book in the name of Jesus Christ is our authority. We cannot separate from that. We cannot water it down. We cannot appease people because they don't like the Word of God or they don't like Jesus. We are going to preach the gospel and stand by the Word of God. Amen. We have no authority other than what God has given us. We don't have any power other than what God has given us. To try to create the church and the body of Christ in our image is idol worship. And so there is a revival that is going on in the body of Christ right now. And that revival is nothing more than us going back to our roots and going back to where we live, where we belong. Going back to the Word of God. It might not look like it's a big shift right now, but it is happening. And we are beginning to move forward. We're going back to the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going back to the fact that Jesus came to save and redeem us from the curse of the law. His blood has delivered us from failure and poverty. His blood has delivered us from demonic power. His blood has delivered us from the corruption of this world. And we're going to go back to the fact that Jesus is not an add-on to our life. He is our life. We die to ourselves and we yield ourselves to Him and we become a new creature, a brand new man. Old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. And stay focused on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of everything we do. He is preeminent. He is above. He is beyond. And we worship Him with everything in us. And we are going to go back to worshiping Him in purity. Amen. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. I preached on that at Brookside the other night. You are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I want you to read that with me, just verse 10. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. In the Amplified Bible, when it says that He is the head, it says that He is the head of all rule and authority and of every angelic principality and power. One of the things that we have to keep in mind all the time is we are not just dealing with a human problem. We are dealing with principalities and powers. There are demonic principalities right now that are ruling over regions, ruling over places, and they are under the control, the authority of Jesus. You say, well, that's not right. You know, how could He let that happen? He has ordained that we must go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. As we go forward and preach the gospel and people get saved, those demonic entities are overthrown. Because obedience to the gospel is what delivers us. Now, in order for the stronghold of the devil to be broken, there has to become obedience in a region. Without obedience in the region, we can stomp our feet, wave our swords, scream, holler, everything we want to do, and we will not move a principality. They are under the rule of Jesus. And when we begin to preach the gospel and people begin to become obedient to the word of God, then Jesus steps in and says, you no longer have authority here. In prayer, there was a time that when we begin to look at warfare, prayer, intercession, we begin to approach it in a, it started out good and then it became a man authority. So we began to declare to principalities that they could no longer rule. We come up with a statement, pulling down principalities. We don't have the authority to do that. If you pull down a principality, you're going to be fighting with them yourself. That is not a good place to be. There was a man who wrote a book, can't remember the man's name right now, but he wrote a book on unnecessary casualties of war. John Paul Jackson. When we engage with these demonic principalities ourselves, when we stand against them ourselves, then we are bringing warfare into our life. Our position is under the blood. Our position is in Christ. Our position is to obey what the Word of God says and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, God Himself moves these principalities and overthrows them. Amen. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus is the head of all things. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now we have been given authority to confront demonic powers when they are possessing or tormenting another human being, but not principalities that rule over areas, because they are under the authority of God. When Jesus fasted and prayed for 40, I hope I can explain this in a good way, because I want to liberate us from oppression. I want to liberate us from the idea that we have to somehow fight battles that were not given to us. The Bible says that God will fight our battles. Amen. And I guarantee you, he's a whole lot better at fighting our battles than we are. Amen. When we pray over areas, we've got to understand that our prayers are to be focused on the redemption and the salvation of that region, because that is what unseats principalities is obedience. If disobedience is reigning in a region, we can cry, holler, and scream all we want to, but disobedience will always empower demonic. That's one of the reasons that we struggle so much these days in church. Disobedience empowers the demonic. If you want to be free, obey. When I'm trying to help somebody get their life free and start giving them the principles it takes to live a free life, and I start getting the yeah, but. I realize that I'm spinning my wheels. Because until we come to the place where it's yes, God, we will not be able to overcome. Hey, boy, it's getting quiet in here. Amen. Obedience empowers the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Disobedience empowers demonic influence. Where envy and self-seeking, where strife and self-seeking exists, is confusion and every evil thing. You want to get the devil out of your home, start obeying the word of God in your home. You want to get the devil out of your life, start obeying the word of God in your life. As long as you are rebellious against the word and against the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be tormented and you will not be free. But when you begin to submit yourself to God and say, God, I yield to you, then the devil has to let go, because you have now come under the authority of him who is head of all principality and power. And Jesus already whipped them. Amen. He already won the victory. Praise God. When the enemy comes in trying to torment my life, I say, look, somebody else is going to open the door. You keep knocking. And my elder brother Jesus, he done whooped you once. You want another beat down? Just keep messing. Amen. I'm under his authority. I'm under his rule. I'm under his reign. Amen. When I was in school, my younger brother was under my authority. Amen. Which brought him under my protection. And all he had to do, if somebody started bullying him, all he had to do is say, you want me to go get Tim? Amen. And he did that a lot, because he was much smaller than me. He was very skinny, very small. And so people would try to pick on him or bully him or something like that. And I taught him to never back down. I taught him to never back up. If somebody's picking on him and he tried to run, I would chase him down and drag him back over there and say, now you're going to fight him. And as soon as I saw he couldn't handle it, then I took care of it. Amen. I taught him not to run. And I also taught him that I was there for him. You understand what I'm talking about? And I'll never forget the time that I walked up behind this guy that was in my class in the library, and he was picking on my little brother. And I walked up quietly behind him, and Steve saw me coming. Boy, all of a sudden he started talking to that guy like he ruled. And he said, you better leave me alone. And that guy grabbed hold of him. And when he grabbed hold of him, Steve grabbed hold of him, and he said, I mean, back off and leave me alone. And I was standing right behind the guy, and I leaned up and I said, I'd do what he said if I was you. See, he got brave when he saw me there behind him, because he knew I had his back. And there wasn't anybody going to mistreat him as long as I was around. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I know somebody that's got my back. Woo! And when I take my stand against him, my elder brother leans forward and says, I'd do what he says if I was you. Amen. Hallelujah. We got somebody that'll fight for us if we'll just simply yield to him. Now, to yield to him, that meant that my little brother had to honor me as his big brother. Come on, somebody. Amen. But he was under my protection. We are under the protection today of him who is the head. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means every character, every power, everything that the Godhead is dwells in Jesus. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You want to change an area? Let that area start coming to Jesus. And next thing you know, there's a shift starts taking place. Blessing starts coming upon that place. Amen. Prayer. Praise God. We got to have the courage to go. But we're not going by ourselves. We're going with God. Amen. I told the story the other night. I was over in Haiti with Brother Randy, and we were going up in the mountains to hold some meetings, and it was a voodoo-dominated place. The flag, you know, they tie flags in the trees, white flags, and that means this area is owned by voodoo, by witch doctors. And we was going up in there and had all the white flags and stuff. And we get up there, and there's a bunch of men standing in the road in front of us, telling us, I couldn't understand them, Brother Randy could, telling us that we can't come in there, that belonged to them. And I couldn't understand the exchange that was going on with them. Brother Randy had the door open, and he was hollering at them. They was hollering at him. He got back in the truck, put the truck in gear, and I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I told him, get out of the way, I'm going to run over you. And about that time, he just accelerated, floored it, and here we went, and they jumped out of the way. We went up in there and set up and preached the gospel, and people started coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil has no power when somebody full of the Holy Spirit steps in. Wherever our feet trod, wherever we step. See, the problem is we got too many churches and too many Christians hiding out somewhere wanting God to do something. But he's saying you got to step, you got to walk, you got to put your feet on the ground in order for me to move. And we got to go in and take. The way we do that is by changing the disobedience into obedience in that area. Amen. I'm believing for this region to have, this thing ain't even working, is it? I keep adjusting it. I'm believing for this region to have an amazing move of the Spirit of God, and we are. There are more good things happening right now than I've seen in my lifetime here. In 45 years of ministry in this region, I have never seen what's going on right now. There is a unity that is taking place. People are coming to God. People are coming into unity. I got to tell you something. When that happens, God begins to move, and he begins to step forward. Why? Because we're stepping forward. When the people of God join arms together, and we start saying, no, devil, you don't have this territory. This territory belongs to God. And we begin to worship the Lord. We begin to declare our authority in him. He starts moving in, and he goes to the principalities and powers and says, move out. This territory has been taken. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what we got to have another worship night. Sister Val, put that on the calendar. Sometime in January, we're going to have another worship night, all right? Amen. You know why? You know what's important to do that? Because when the body of Christ comes together and begins to worship Almighty God, we begin to yield ourselves to him, and we begin to declare the word and worship, then all of a sudden God says, I hear my people. I hear faith. I hear somebody is not wanting to hide, but they're wanting to step forward. And all of a sudden, heaven starts to rumble. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes God gets to dancing so much when that happens that he breaks the prison bars open and Paul and Silas are free and people start getting saved. Are you listening to me today? We are the children of God and we have power and authority, but it's in him. One of the things that constantly plagues us in the body of Christ is every time God starts moving, we start becoming somebody. We start getting as powerful as Jesus. It has damaged the church over and over and over. The power of God moving through us is not the stamp of approval on our life. The stamp of approval on our life is when we are living righteous, holy lives and we are walking in unity and fellowship with God. When God can speak and say, this is my beloved son or daughter in whom I'm well pleased, then that's what we want. That's what we need right there. Hallelujah. And I have a feeling God's about to speak because there's a whole lot of people that are surrendering themselves to God in this region. And I believe God's about to start saying, these are my people. These are my sons and daughters in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. And the word of God is about to come into fruition. Hallelujah. He is the head of all things to the church in Colossians 1 and 17. It says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. I preached on a lot of this last Sunday, but we're going to keep hammering this. Why? Because he is the head. He is before all things. He is the firstborn. He has preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. We are the firstborn from the dead because we have entered into him. We are in Christ. He's made peace through the blood of his cross. We come to God through Jesus Christ. We bow in Christ. We live in Christ. We preach in Christ. We pray in Christ. Everything we do is in Christ. We are not out here adding Jesus to our life and praying to God, hoping Jesus somehow will interpret for us. We go before the Father. We are in Christ. And he hears us. Amen. He hears us. Praise God. He hears us. He hears our prayer. We know where God's at because we've been talking to him. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're all by yourself somewhere. He knows where you're at. He's right there with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen. Now, we leave him and forsake him a lot. But he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So he is the head. In the book of Ephesians, it says that, I think it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Let's back up to 20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I want you to listen to the confidence of Paul here as he's talking. He said he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and his body is the fullness of him who fills all and all. He is the head of the church. We are not in a position to tell God what to do. He will ask us what we want. We have the awesome privilege to pray. Amen. But when it comes down to it, we kneel before God and say, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do? See, right now we're at war all around the world with principalities. People are the face of those principalities, but it is demonic principalities. Amen. I remember one time I was flying close to North Korea, and I was looking out that airplane window, and I knew North Korea was out there. They usually route us, you don't fly right over it. But I said, God, at one time, the capital of North Korea was a hot spot of a move of God, a revival and a move of God. And I said, God, bring it back. Bring it back. God, destroy the principality over that region. Destroy the principality. See, we are dealing with principality. In the book of Daniel, it's the angel, when he showed up, Daniel been praying. When the angel, the messenger showed up, he said, I've been withheld by the prince of Persia. He wasn't just talking about a man. He was talking about a demonic entity that he had been battling with, holding him back. But he got through, and Daniel heard the word of the Lord. And then he said, and now I got to go because the prince of Greece is coming. And the prince of Greece, Alexander the Great, was the face of the prince of Greece, but he was under the dominion of a demonic entity. And I got to tell you something, we are fighting demonic entities today, but we serve the one that is the head of all principalities and powers. He is the ruler of all things. And if Jesus decides today that he has to move out of Iran, he will move out of Iran. Amen. He said, well, how could that happen? Well, one of the ways it could happen is people are getting saved in Iran by the groves. They're coming to Jesus. Amen. There is a revival and a move of God going on all over the world. And here, the American church is fighting over whether we're boys or girls. People are getting saved. They're being delivered. There's a mighty move of God taking place. God deliver the Christian church in America from our pitiful... You can interpret that however you want to, right there. The things that, I mean, we serve the Lord of all. And we're bound up in these pitiful little arguments that isn't going to amount to anything except our delusion and destruction. But if we could just run to the Savior's feet, just bow at his feet, if the church in America could just bow at the cross, just come and bow at his feet and surrender, there would be such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit with like we've never seen. There's already hot spots everywhere. Oh God, I wanted this area to be a hot spot of the move of God. Revival burning in this region. God gave me a vision several years ago about people flooding into this region for more than just country music shows. I saw people coming here from all over. Matter of fact, I even went and talked to the powers that be and tell them they need to start setting up bus tours for Christian events, revivals. They thought I was crazy. Except one man. One man got so fired up that he actually wrote a piece and put it in the paper about the vision God had given me. People laughed at him, scorned him. I'm telling you that God's plan is for this region. Amen. See, God's, do I even get into any of this? He is the head. Jesus is the head. Several years ago, God showed me people coming here and they could go to one place and be a Billy Graham type salvation message. I mean, people getting saved by the scores. Then they go over to another place. There's a Holy Ghost outpouring going on, people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then they go to another service and they're getting free, casting out devils. And people are getting free from the powers that are binding them. And I mean, all working together. Can you imagine having a bus tour service? And you bring a bunch of grumbling, griping Christians in here. And spend about a week. And then head home with a bus full of worship. People speaking in tongues. Giving each other words of knowledge and wisdom. Prophetic utterances taking place. Free from the powers of the devil. Why? Because they came somewhere and encountered a place that is free from the demonic oppression. Why? Because obedience covered this area. I've been here a long time. I preached my first message right here on this platform about 44 years ago. I've watched this thing happen. I've watched the cycles, and I've watched it take place. And every time God begins to move, disobedience rises up and pride rises up in the body of Christ and tears it all to pieces. And we start hearing the term, I don't like. Well, I don't like. Well, I don't like. Well, I don't like. I get so tired of hearing that. We try to bring Christians together, and the first thing they say, well, I don't like. If I was still in the oil fields, I'd just punch you in the mouth. That's the way we took care of stuff like that out there. When there was problems on the crew, we just silenced it. But I can't do that here. I get so tired of, I don't like. Well, I don't like the way they do this. Well, I don't like the way they do that. I don't like the way they pray. I don't like the way they worship. I don't like the way they wear their hair. I don't think they should have facial hair. I don't think they should do this. I don't think they should do that. And all this going on in the midst of an almighty, most high God, Jesus, the head of all things, wanting to move powerfully, and all we can do is talk about what we don't like. There's one thing, when I start a pastor's meeting, when I get a group of pastors together, there's one thing I like to, as, what was that guy's name? Andy's sidekick. Barney. I like to do like Barney. Nip it in the bud. Because one of the most favorite conversations of most pastors is, what's wrong with the church? Well, it's in this office. Woo! I like to nip that stuff in the bud right away. I start telling them, look, we're not going to start talking about what we're against, what we don't like. We're going to start talking about what we're for. We're going to start talking about who we worship. We're going to start talking about what his plans are, what his vision is. Amen. We ain't got time to talk about what's wrong. We got to start talking about what's right, because it's what you amplify is what comes into power. If we want to sit around and gripe and complain all the time, then that's all we'll have, is a bunch of griping and complaining. But if we want to get together and start talking about the vision of God, the things of God, the power of God, the glory of God, then that's what we're going to have. I can't even preach this morning without singing soprano. I mean, my voice gets any higher, I'm going to start breaking crystal. I'm going to have to get it back down here. He is the head. We aren't. I have one position. Amen. My title, people call me an apostle, a prophet, an idiot. I get called all kinds of things. Hyper charismatic. I've been called everything. But none of that's my position. My position is this right here. This is my position. If I position myself at his feet, then I can stand in his power. Hallelujah. He's the one that stands us up. He's the one that gives us place. Amen. I am at a fork in the road, and there's five different roads. And I'm trying to pick which one we're going to go down. When there's a breakdown in communication between the head and the body, I went through this, so I am an expert on it. When your head stops communicating with your body, it's devastating. Neurologist told Sister Betty about 14 years ago, when I was having one seizure after another, started in the middle of the night for no reason, started having massive seizures one after another, ended up in the emergency room, ended up in the hospital. The neurologist checked me, and they said, all we can tell you is that his brain has divorced his body, and they're not communicating. Because of that, there's several things that happen. When your body disconnects from your brain, that's what gives your body the orders to function. When that happens, you lose control of your eyes. A lot of times you go blind. You go deaf. You can't speak. You lose your ability to speak. Your members stop working. Your hands, your arms, your legs. Only they start having what's called involuntary muscle movements. And there would be times that I would be bowed up in the bed from the back of my head to the heels of my feet just like this, because the muscles in my body would contract to the point that it's about to, that it'd almost break me in two. Excruciating. And they said his body, his brain has divorced his body, not communicating. They didn't know why. They surmised They asked Sister Betty what all I was doing at that time, and that's back when I didn't believe that I even needed to sleep. I really did not believe. I believed that the Spirit in me could overcome anything, including weariness and sickness and tiredness. And so I seldom slept. I worked 16 to 18 hours a day, both in hard labor and in pastoring. And I really didn't think there was a problem with that. And so they surmised that I had pushed myself too hard for too long and broke my brain. People tried to tell me all that all the time when I was young. Whatever caused it, I know what happens when I know the outcome of that. One eye would be over here and one eye would be over there. I mean, my eyes wouldn't even work together. They were doing their own thing. I would have trouble with my speech. Matter of fact, I had to work on that for over a year, and I still have to work at it at times to be able to speak properly. When I get real tired, my speech goes away. I get to where I can't even come up with words to say. I had to be healed in my hearing because when people talked to me, I couldn't understand what they were saying. It was just gibberish. And it sounded to me like they were speaking a foreign language, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. And then a lot of times when I would try to talk, it would come out all messed up. The words would be in the wrong place. And the reason that happened is because my body stopped receiving instruction from my head. I would be thinking one thing in my head, and my mouth would say something else. Devastating. The doctors told me, or they told Betty, I couldn't comprehend things. The doctors told Betty that when all of this is over, there will be parts of him that will work and there will be parts of him that will not work. He could be lame, not able to walk. He could be blind. He could be deaf. They said, whatever part of his brain doesn't come back online, it won't work. It just won't be there anymore. The Bible says that he is the head and we are the body. And what I've been seeing in the body of Christ for several years now is seizures, involuntary muscle movement, lack of communication, blindness, deafness, the inability to function properly because the church has disconnected from the head, who is Jesus Christ. But I got to tell you something. There is a healing that has taken place. There's a reconnection that has taken place. Just like God healed me completely. They said I would probably not recover, but I know what a God who is ahead of all things. He is above everything. He has the last word in those that serve him. And it took a while, but little by little, God healed me. I began to regain motor skills. I'll never forget, at first, Sister Betty had her hands full because I couldn't do a lot. I was the worst patient you can imagine. But I couldn't do a lot, but I didn't know I couldn't do a lot. You understand what I'm talking about? And so I'll never forget, one day she said, I got it in my head that I was going to go outside. Well, most of the time when I get something in my head, I usually do it. And so I started heading outside trying to, and she jumped up and was trying to hold me up and trying to help me, and I was going out the door. I don't remember much of this. But we got outside, and I ended up on the ground, unable to move, unable to walk. And here I was, laying out in the dirt, and she's trying to get me up. And I'm confused because I can't figure out why I'm laying in the dirt. I can't figure out what's going on. Why is this happening? You know, what's wrong? And she finally gets me up and gets me back in the house. And that's the day I got this great revelation. Some of y'all laugh, but this was a great revelation to me. Because I was coming to the point where I could think and process information. She got me back in the house. I sit down in a chair and I said, "What's wrong with me?" And she tried to explain it to me. And this was my great revelation. Wow, I'm breakable. Wow, that was a great revelation. I've resented that revelation ever since. But that's when I began to realize that I needed help from God. I needed healing. I needed to be restored. I needed help because if God didn't heal me, I would never be back. And she would be taking care of me like an invalid. Are you listening to me? But that's when God began to speak to me. He began to put the verse in my mind over and over and over. And this is what I want the church to hear. See, there is healing. There is deliverance. There is recovery. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be lame. You don't have to be halt. You don't have to be dumb. You don't have to be blind. You don't have to be deaf. You can hear the word of God. And I want you to know something. God began to speak. Holy Spirit began to speak this to me over and over and over like it was on a record player. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Every day, all day long, I would say that over and over and over. That was the only thought that I could come up with. That's what dominated my mind. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then I start moving on to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who has forgiven all of my iniquities, has healed all of my diseases. He has delivered my life from destruction. I would declare that over and over all day. I have been delivered from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'll never forget. I don't know if it's the first time I came back to church. I don't remember. But I had to use a walker. That is embarrassing. I had to use a walker. And then my youngest son, Austin, was afraid I was going to scratch up the floors, so he put these yellow tennis balls on the front of my walker. And I looked at those and I said, I am not in a nursing home. And I constantly threw that walker and crashed and burned. And then Betty would get me back up and I'd get back on the walker. I'd get mad and I'd throw that walker. I'd say, I'm going to use that thing. And next thing you know, she's digging my head out of a sofa because I dove head first and buried my head in a sofa. And she's trying to pull me out. I'm laying there wondering why the lights went out. I don't know what happened. But I forget, one of the times I came back to church, I was sitting over here. I don't know why I came up front. I should have stayed in the back. But I came up front here. and sit down. And during the service, we used to have lights up here that shone through these fans. And during the service, it was like a strobe light. And I began to feel sick. I began to sweat. And next thing you know, I went into a catatonic seizure. I just froze up. I didn't know all this was going on until I started coming around. And when I started, when I started coming around, I could hear the body of Christ calling on God, praying for me. They'd gathered around me and was laying hands on me and praying for me. And one of the most healing things that happened that day was Pastor Rob's prayer. Because it really helped me to lighten up. Because when I started coming around, I heard Pastor Rob saying, "Oh God, this old eagle is molting. God, pull the feathers out of him, the dead feathers out of him. Break the crust off his beak, God." I mean, he's praying with everything in him. And I'm starting to hear this, realizing what was going on. My body started relaxing, and I started laughing. And I said, "Thank you." Amen. That might sound funny, but it's exactly what I needed. I needed to lighten up. And I needed the crust beat off my beak. Because I was molting. Then I opened my eyes. When I opened my eyes and looked, was able to become aware, opened my eyes and looked, and Sister Angie was right in my face. And she put her hand on the side of my face and she said, "Dad's back." Touched my heart. I thought, wow. See, because of that, I fully recovered. I don't have disabilities. I don't have impediments. The doctors didn't think I'd recover, but I am fully and completely recovered. And I have been seizure and medication free for 14 years now. Hallelujah. What an amazing thing. I asked the doctor, I was still having seizures, and I said, "Do I have to keep taking all this medication?" He said, "Ain't helping." He said, "You might as well not take it. It's not. They couldn't even stop the seizures. They had intravenous medication going and trying to stop the seizures, and the only thing it did is make me realize I wasn't having them. But they couldn't stop them. Why? Because my body decided it wasn't going to receive instruction from my brain anymore. We've been in that state. I know this is a personal testimony, but it is, I'm using it because I want us to see what the church has been going through. But we're starting to hook up again. We're getting our motor skills back. We're starting to get in unity again. Our brain, our head, we're attaching to the head again. We're starting to kneel before him and say, "You are superior. You are in preeminence. You are the head of all things. And we worship you today. We praise you. We give you praise." Healing is happening. You hear me? Healing is happening in the body of Christ. Our eyesight has been restored. Amen. It was a blessing when all of a sudden I didn't see three or four people. I could focus in. I could just focus in on one person. I could hear and I could speak and I could walk and I could talk. Hallelujah. The church is being healed. Stand with me if you would. And a lot of times I've asked Sister Betty, I said, why does everything in my life have to be so dramatic? You know, I can't just, I said, why couldn't I just have an emotional meltdown like other people? Why did my brain have to break, you know? But I know a healer and a restorer, and he's healing and restoring. You know, I told that story for several reasons. One, the illustration of the body of Christ, what we need. But there are people in this house today that need hope. You need hope. You need restored. There's hope for the body of Christ. God's going to bring us back together. Generations are coming back together. Jake and Aubrey, I see you back there. Say, I remembered your name. Generations are coming back together. God is raising people up. We're shoving the foolishness out and coming back to the lordship and headship of Jesus Christ. Father, God, there's a lot of disconnection that has taken place in the body of Christ. There's a lot of separation. Lord, we've separated from your lordship in so many ways, but God, we're coming back. We come back to the head. You are the head. You are the head of all things. Hallelujah. You are the head of all things. Thank you, Father. Today we need to crucify the I don't likes, because most of it is just frivolous stuff. It really doesn't have anything to do with God. And we need to come back and yield to Him, kneel at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you're disconnected in this house today, you need to come. You need to come to God. If you feel disconnected from Him, you need to come to Him today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we bring our selves before you. We bring this area, we bring this church, we bring this whole region before you today, Lord God. Father, help us to preach the gospel with more authority and power than we ever have. God, help us to reach out like we've never done before, Lord God, to restore the connection. Restore the connection, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, I give you praise.